This podcast is protected by copyright and not for broadcast. See rsn.net.au for more details.
Good morning, everyone. Lovely to have you company for Talking Horses. Well, it's with sad news we lead off the program this morning, with news yesterday that prominent racing identity Nick Collum passed away after suffering a stroke about 10 days ago in Spain. The 72-year-old, he's remembered as a larger-than-life character, and personally, I had the privilege of spending an amount of time with Nick, and I will forever hold fond memories of those occasions. More recently, he was involved with the Hong Kong Jockey Club and advising them on their bloodstock purchases, and with great success. The last I saw him, he was a very happy man, enjoying life and enjoying his work, travelling the world, plucking out bloodstock for the Hong Kong racing scene. So with great sadness, Nick Collum passed away yesterday, and we'll bring you details of his funeral arrangements as soon as they come to hand. Now to the program this morning, and coming up, we've got Sebastian Hutch from Coolmore joining us. Coolmore Stallion Piero continues to have great success. He produced a very impressive winner on the track in Victoria this week. And what about the American Pharaoh selling like hotcakes at the recent sales at Saratoga? Sebastian's going to join us a bit later on the show. We're also this morning going to catch up with Duncan Grimley, who is the manager for John Singleton's Strawberry Hill Stud and all his bloodstock interests. They won one of the feature races in Sydney yesterday with Sandbar, and we'll also get the latest on how his Blue Blood Broodmare Band is performing. More Joyous had a winner in Victoria during the week, More Sundays, and it looks like it's destined for much bigger and better things. But first up on the program this morning, Sun Studs' Phil Marshall joins us. They have their open day coming up this Friday. It's that lovely time of the year when our major stud farms open their gates to the general public and racing industry to show off their assets, the stallions. And Sun Stud have their open day coming up this Friday. Phil Marshall from Sun Stud joining us on the program this morning. How are you, Phil?
Yeah, good morning, Joe. Very well.
Always a wonderful time of the year, isn't it, when these horses you're able to show off to the general public? How are they all shaping up for Friday's engagement?
Yeah, it's a busy time of the year for everyone. Everyone's getting the farm ready, and we're busy selling the nominations, and the stalling guys are getting the stallings looking well. I went down to the barn yesterday. They're all looking fantastic. Throne particularly has settled in nicely, and he's looking $1 million. So no, all set to go for Friday.
He's one of your headline acts and one of the more expensive stallions on the roster up there with Palantino, Magnus, so who's been a real stalwart of your ranks, and Fighting Sun too. He's had lots of success of late, so looking forward to his season, I'm sure.
Yeah, definitely. He's he had a really, really good start to his career with his two-year-olds, finished the season off really well. Was unlucky not to get two or three extra winners. Had a lot of horses run unlucky seconds and thirds. And he's already had Fighting Harada come out as a three-year-old last week and was a particularly unlucky runner at Sandown. And following a chat I had to Peter Clyden, his managing owner, this morning, they've got big sights for him this coming spring, and fingers crossed he ends up a live chance in the Caulfield Guineas.
Oh, that's nice, isn't it, to have a horse that might be in the offing for a race of that calibre, and it helps the profile of the stallion immensely if he can get a runner to the post, let alone a horse that can actually perform well in a race of that calibre.
Oh, for sure, for sure. Look, they seem to have a massive opinion of him, Fighting Harada. And fingers crossed he pays off for them. But look, he's had a really, really good start to his career. Magnus, who you mentioned earlier, is flying at the moment. He had a great season last year, and he's already kicked off this season with a handful of winners, couple of city winners as well. And we're still awaiting Palantino's first foals, but really, really excited to see what they come out like as well.
And you had a foal born at the stud this week?
Yeah, actually, just the other day we had a nice schnitzel out of a really good mare called Madam Gangster. So a little bit of a slow start, but that's our first one out, and a really, really nice foal.
Yeah.
And what about the Sun Stud racing stock? What have you got lined up for the next couple of months as we prepare for the spring carnival? Any nice horses on their way to the track?
Oh, fingers crossed. A few of them have just gone back in, ready for the spring. One horse we're really excited about is Hawkshot, the son of Fiorenzo. He's with Darren Weir, and he's been back in a few weeks, and they're thrilled with how he's come back, thrilled with how he's matured both mentally and physically. Now he's turned three, and fingers crossed we're going to set him on a Derby campaign. But when we talk to Darren about him, he's the apple of his eye this season. I think he's a very, very exciting horse.
Yes, and National Defence won't be coming to Australia this year?
Look, unfortunately not, as a lot of people would have seen the other week. Unfortunately, he suffered an injury towards the end of the Northern Hemisphere season, and after a lot of feedback from different vets, the horse's welfare is far more important than anything else. And we decided that it was probably the best thing to do was to leave him in the Northern Hemisphere, and he will shuttle next season. It's been incredibly unfortunate because he was proving to be extremely popular amongst breeders, and he really, really ticked a lot of boxes for everyone. He was a Group 1 winning 2-year-old by Invincible Spirit from a loving family. So, look, it was really, really unfortunate news, but at the end of the day, you know, the horse's welfare must come first.
Mm. Yeah, absolutely. And may I ask, after good old Bella Spree, how's he going these days?
Well, look, he'd probably say less of the old. He certainly doesn't look his age at all. He still looks like a spring chicken. he's still firing in plenty of winners. I know Matt Kamani had a lovely horse win the other week by six lengths. He's unbeaten in three starts. And there's a few thousand jump outs just recently that have caught my eye. And he just doesn't seem to be aging at all, to be honest, Joe.
Oh, that's good news. How old is he these days?
So he's just turned 19. Like I say, when people come to the open day on Friday and have a look at him, they would certainly not think he's a 19-year-old.
Yeah. And should anyone listening like to come out to the open day on Friday, what should they do, Phil?
Just get in touch with us at the farm or drop anyone an email. But the gates will open from roughly about 11 o'clock in the morning, and I believe the stallion parade will kick off around about 1 o'clock in the afternoon. But look, everyone's welcome. The more the merrier.
Oh, terrific. Thanks for joining us on the program. I hope Friday goes well, Phil.
Thanks, Joe. Thank you very much.
That's Phil Marshall from Sun Stud. They have their open day this Friday, and you're most welcome to attend. Racing at headquarters yesterday, and the opener at Flemington was a 2,500-metre handicap won by Lindsay Park Racing's Jame, a six-year-old gelding by Ifraj out of a Rock of Gibraltar mare, Miss Gibraltar. Race 2 was a benchmark 90 over 1,000 metres, and Godolphin's Bandipur was successful, a four-year-old entire, by Commands out of a Viscount mare, Pat Amada. Race 3 was a benchmark 70 race over 1,400 metres. Tony McAvoy's Crockett was the winner, a three-year-old gelding by All American out of a Street Cry mare, Tasula. This horse was sold for $180,000 at the 2017 edition of the Magic Millions Gold Coast yearling sale. Race 4, a benchmark 84 over 1,400 metres. Archie Alexander's five-year-old mare, Spannerhead, successful. She's a daughter of Helmet out of a Spartacus mare, Classic Chevron, and is related to winners Von Classic Hero and Wanna Be Good. The fifth event, a benchmark 70 over 1,200 metres, Darren Weir's Schwa's Border was the winner there, a four-year-old gelding by Schwa Seer out of a Royal Academy mare, Borderline, and is a relation to a winner, She's Miss Divine. This horse was sold at the 2016 Inglis Premier Yearling Sales for $280,000. Race 6, a benchmark 78 over 2,000 metres. And again, Darren Weir to the fore, this time with The Statesman, a five-year-old gelding by Zoffany out of a Galileo mare, Chelsea Jane.
The feature race on the card at Flemington yesterday, race 7, the Ori Star at Group 3, over 1,200 metres. Darren Weir's 7-year-old gelding Voodoo Lad was successful. He's by I Am Invincible out of a gilded Time Mare O Fortuna. Voodoo Lad was sold for just $36,000 at the 2013 Inglis Scone Select Yearling Sale and is a relation to winners Café Fouquet and Husson's Fortune. The eighth event, a handicap over 1,400 metres. Darren Weir, another winner. This time, The Answer, My Friend, a 5-year-old gelding by High Chaparral out of a Danehill mare Blowing in the Wind, related to winners Our Freebie, Petworth House, Quartermaster and War Piglet. This horse is related to a number of winners and was also purchased for just $70,000 at the 2015 New Zealand Bloodstock Premier Yearling Sale. The ninth and final race at Flemington yesterday was a Benchmark 84 over 1,700 metres. Lindsay Park Racing's Sikandarabad was the winner, a 6-year-old gelding by Dr. Fong out of a Kalanisi mare, Sindiama. And that wraps up our look back at Flemington yesterday, with the Ori Star, the feature there, won by Voodoo Lad. Spring is certainly in the air. The success of the Pierrots on the racetrack continued this week. On Friday, we saw an impressive winner at Geelong, filly by the name of Gaelic Dream. Of course, Pierrot stands at Coolmore Stud, and Sebastian Hutch joins us on the show this morning. How are you, Sebastian?
Morning, Jill. How are you?
Very well. Must be pleasing to see the Pierrots continue to have the success they do. Of course, he sired two Derby winners and an Oaks winner last season from his first crop of three-year-olds, and it looks like he's got another nice three-year-old racing in Victoria at the moment, this filly Gaelic Dream.
Yeah, look, she was very impressive on Friday. We'd heard that she was a filly that had shown David, Ben and Tom good ability, but you like to see them go to the races and win as comprehensively as she did. She's obviously got good ability, as we've seen with the Pierrots. They tend to improve as they graduate into a three-year-old year. I mean, I suppose from our point of view, what's been exciting for him is that the stock have been so versatile, obviously, as he alluded to. He had two Derby winners and an Oaks winner last year, but he's had stakes winners from 1,000 metres to 2,500 metres and every distance range in between. We've already seen two for a metres at the start of the season. So that was a lot of people when Pierre retired to give him such a good three-year-old, such a good speed horse, expected him to be able to get plenty of quick horses with an added string to his bow that he looks equally as capable of getting classic horses, quite where David's filly will end up. It's hard to know, but I suppose at this time of the year, the immediate thought is to turn towards 1,000 guineas and hopefully she can get to a race at that.
Gaelic Dream is the fifth winner since the start of the season for Pierrot, and he'll now be looking to build on what is already a very imposing stakes winner to runners ratio of 6% as the spring unfolds.
Yeah, look, he was champion first season sire with his two-year-olds. He was champion second crop sire with his first crop of three-year-olds. He was third on the three-year-old sires list in Australia. Only Snitzel and Fast and Rock had more three-year-old stakes winners in Australia than Pierrot last year, which is a fine achievement in a horse's first crop. Obviously, they get good mares in their first crop, but the longer they're at stud, people hone and fine-tune the type of mares that suit them. Nicks start to emerge, so I don't think it's unfair for us to expect that his record is only going to get better and better and better as he progresses through his studying career. And look, he had over 60 three-year-old winners last year. I mean, he had a lot of winners and he's a lot of nice horses to run from his four-year-olds. The two-year-old crop, his second two-year-old crop performed arguably at least as well as his first two-year-old crop, if not better. I mean, he had a couple of two-year-old stakes winners last year and he only had one in his first crop, so there's a lot to look forward to from his three-year-olds. You know, any trainee you talk to is very high in the stallion. You know, they sold well. He looks like he's a strong yearling crop. It's obviously not as big in numbers this year as it was the first 2 years. He's two smaller crops last year's and this year's. But he's a big foal crop on the way. You know, he was the first horse booked out on our roster this year. You know, to be perfectly honest with you, we're just extremely lucky to have a horse like him, and it's great for the Australian industry.
Mm. So he stands at Coolmore this season at a fee of $88,000. How have the bookings been, and are there any celebrity mares going his way for the season?
Oh, we were inundated with applications for the horse from after the Magic Millions onwards. I mean, the volume of established top-class breeders that just said, look, I want to go to that horse no matter what. And the quality mares tend to flow on from there. I mean, it's... his book, as things stand at the moment, is going to be the who's who of Ben Hill High mares in Australia, really. And that's on the basis that all of the stakesmen, his first crop, have Ben Hill in their pedigree. So he's the outcross stallion that every breeder in Australia has been crying out for. And it's reflected in his book. I mean, trying to go through the particulars of it is hard because it's probably unfair to particular mare owners to single out certain mares, but I can promise you, when the returns go in at the end of the season, you know, his book will genuinely read as a who's who of the dandelioners in the country.
I'm not surprised. And to one of your other stallions, Sebastian, American Pharaoh, the Triple Crown winner. Now, his horses have sold like hotcakes in the US over the past week. What's been happening there?
Yeah, so he was the first Triple Crown winner in the States in 37 years, retired to stud to great fanfare in the States and down here. His first yearling crop, members of his first crop had sold well as weanlings. Like, he had $1 million weanling last November. He had $1 million short yearling early on in the year, and now he's had $2 million plus yearlings at Saratoga, Fasting Tipped. You know, there were five yearlings that made $1 million or more as a sale, and he saw two of them, which is a fair effort from any first crop stallion. You'd a filly make $1.2 million and a colt make $1 million. And like, given he was such a good horse, it's not unreasonable to expect that there'd be great fanfare around his first progeny. I mean, the thing that's exciting for us and for the people who are expecting foals by the horse in Australia this year is the stock seems to stand up to the greatest scrutiny. You know, the feedback on the stock has been outstanding. It's obviously a big yearling sale in France starting next week. He's represented at that sale. He'll be represented at some of the other European sales. And then Keeneland September sale starts next month. Again, he'll have very strong representation at that sale. And it's not unreasonable to expect him to make a big impression there. We already have three foals on farm by the horse. His first Australian cropper being born at the moment. He covered great mares last year. And, you know, it's reassuring to the people who backed up and supported the horse last year that the reports are so positive on his first American yearlings. And hopefully he continues to get good-looking stock down
there. Mm. Of those foals that you've seen on the ground here in Australia thus far, at this early stage, what would you say are perhaps some of the notable attributes of them?
Oh, it's very early days. I mean, he covered a lot of good mares, and you know, the mare obviously has a significant role to play in shaping any individual. But from what we were told of his progeny in the States, they tend to inherit very similar characteristics to him in terms of their constitution. He's a horse with an extraordinarily laid-back demeanor. Nothing seems to fluster him, and obviously that was conducive to him embracing the challenges that he faced as a racehorse. And, you know, we see it when he's in Australia, that he really laid back character. The first foals in the States seem to have inherited that, and then the other thing is the same fluent, loose moving gait. You know, he's a beautiful mover, and stock seems to be the same way. It's too early for us to tell in terms of his first foals down here, but you know, each of them have, you know, same beautiful head that he has, good rich colour, they look athletic, have size and scope, all important features of any prospective racehorse. At this stage, the early signs are very encouraging. We're obviously hoping that it carries through right the way through the foaling season.
And what else is making news for Coolmore, either here or internationally at the moment, Sebastian?
Oh, look, it's a busy time of the year with the racehorses in the Northern Hemisphere. Obviously, the Australian season's only starting to warm up now. But we've a young stallion in No Name Ever who's shuttling to Australia again this year. He's the leading first crops are in Europe at the moment. He's three stakes winners. I think he's up to 17 winners now. He's made an extraordinary impression in a short space of time. He's a runner in a Group 1 in Ireland tonight. He looks like his horse is going to be well represented in all the two-year-old sprint races for the balance of the season in Europe. His eldest Australian progeny have just turned into their yearling year, so they'll be at the sales from the turn of the year. And, you know, if his performance in Europe is anything to go by, demand for those is going to be very, very strong. And, you know, obviously we're looking forward to Rubik two-year-olds. All the Rubiks just turned two last week, and the feedback is incredibly positive at this early stage, and we're looking to get too carried away. If the feedback holds true, we're going to have an exciting season with Ruby.
No doubt. Lovely to catch up with you, Sebastian, as always, and I look forward to seeing what Gaelic Dream goes on to do. Are you aware at all of her likely path from this point on?
Oliver, we haven't inquired about it yet. I saw Neil Ware at the races yesterday. I probably should have asked him, but he's a very lucky owner.
He is.
Let's hope his filly is as lucky for him as some of his fits to be in the past. It's probably wishful thinking to think she can go on to be another Black Caviar for him, but it'd be a great result for him if she could.
Oh, would it what? All right, Sebastian, we'll look forward to following her progress in the coming months.
Pleasure. Thanks, Joe. Appreciate it.
No worries. That's Sebastian Hutch from Coolmore joining us on Talking Horses this morning. Piero producing another very good three-year-old, Gaelic Dream, one to follow. One of the most interesting first starter winners anywhere in Australia this week was the three-year-old Moor Sundays, a royally bred colt by champion sire Fastknit Rock from John Singleton's much-loved champion mare, Moor Joyous. Duncan Grimley, who is Singo's bloodstock manager with Strawberry Hill, joins us on the program this morning. How are you, Duncan?
Good, thank you, Joe.
Always lovely to see these great mares get a nice horse.
Yeah, it is. You know, there's a lot of planning goes into this, and there's a lot of hope as well. And look, we'd be very lucky to get one half as good as her, but he's very promising at the moment.
He sure is. He was retained to race by Singo and sent to Lindsay Park to be trained by Ben and David Hayes and, of course, Tom Dabernick after what was an initial campaign with Bjorn Baker. Now, that win this week was impressive, over 1,100 metres in a maiden at Geelong. Where to from here?
We wanted to give him a bit of a soft kill, and David's always had a high opinion of him, and, you know, so did Bjorn. Bjorn had a very high opinion of him as well. After that win, we're probably going to bring him to Sydney. There's a race on the 1st of September over 1,300, and a benchmark 75 three-year-old race, and we'll give him a run around in that, and then that will determine whether we go on to the Golden Rose or bring him back for in keeping for sprinting through the spring.
And he's still got so much improvement, obviously.
Yeah, he's a raw, untapped talent at the moment. You know, he got his head up and he floated a bit around the corner. But, you know, he has got great ability and, you know, hopefully as he matures, he'll get rid of the greenness.
Yeah, of course. Well, Moor Sundays is, of course, the second foal and second winner for Moor Joyous, who herself earned over $4.5 million in prize money in 21 races, 8 of them at Group 1 level. She was an absolute superstar. What's become of her first foal, a mare by the name of Woman by Frankel?
She hasn't been such a straightforward story. She won first up at her only start, actually, very well, and we had great hopes and aspirations for her. Since then, she's had a throat operation and she's had problems with the feet, and she's back in work now with Gay, but it's a work in progress to see how far we'll go with this campaign. But hopefully she'll hold together and, you know, there's still a few more wins in her.
And Moor Joyous has a yearling colt by Snitzel and was covered again by him last spring.
Yeah, that's right. And at this stage, she's booked to go back to Fastknit Rock for this season.
I'm sure after that horse winning two on Monday and showing so much promise. What a band of broodmares Singo and Strawberry Hill has that you're responsible for managing, Duncan. Some of the other high-profile mares, what have they been up to?
Samantha Mist is probably well known to everybody. She's got a very, very good filly. We've got a huge rap on her called Miss Fabulous. She'll be actually running in a maiden at Canterbury on Wednesday. And then hopefully she'll go on to the Princess Series towards the Flight Stakes. And Samantha Miss herself has just landed back in England. She's going back to Frankel. We sent her and another mare over there to be covered this season by him. And we've got great faith in him. Obviously, he's been a wonderful sire as well as a fantastic racehorse. So, we're going to use him again.
And dear Demi, what news of her?
She's in foal to Reduced Choice with a Reduced Choice colt at foot. And at this stage, based on the first foal, we're going to go back to Reduce again while he's still around. He's getting a bit old, but, he's still a great stallion. And he's very fertile for his age. So we'll go back there with dear Demi. And once we're wild, who, luckily enough, we won the Oaks with her, she's also going to go back to Reduce Choice this year as well. She's got a three-year-old that's actually running on Tuesday at Gosford, having its first start. May need a little bit further than the 1,200, but Bjorn Baker's training him and he's fairly happy with it.
And Tuesday Joy?
Tuesday Joy's in New Zealand. She's in foal to Savabeale and she's going to go back to him this season as well. So she went over last year. We left her there and she'll hopefully get in foal again and then she'll come back with the weanling.
All such lovely mares, top racehorses themselves, and they've gone on to be great producers. What a privilege it must be to manage this bloodstock, Duncan.
Yeah, it's not a chore, that's for sure. But they are a great bunch of horses, and we keep the broodmare band as tight as we possibly can, and we sell a few out every year, and. But at the moment, we're sort of consistently around 20 to 24 mares and, we're very happy with the group that we've got.
And of the racing stock at the moment, gracing our racetracks around Australia, you've got a couple of handy horses. Bondi, firstly, what's the update there?
Yeah, he's a colt we sold at the yearling sale but retained a part of. Peter Snowden's training him. He won a trial on Monday at Gosford. He's going to be set towards the Caulfield Guineas after running second in the Champagne at his last start, last campaign. And the other horse we've got is Sandbar, who he's actually running today in Sydney. And same thing, we sold him but retained a piece of him. He's probably a sprinter and he's just going to go through the Rosebud, San Domenico and run to the Roses. And then a decision will be made whether we're going to push him out to the Golden Rose if he's going well.
And how's Singo going?
He's good. He's terrific. He's, he's got a lot of irons and a lot of fires. He's, got a fairly large real estate portfolio now, and he's got the pups and in the office a couple of days a week. So that and the horses are keeping him fairly busy.
He loves spending time on the property at Strawberry Hill, doesn't he?
Yeah, well, that's where he lives now, and I know you did a show on him up there a while ago, and the birds have multiplied again. we've got in excess of 100 macaws there now, so
gee whiz.
Makes for exciting times when you're trying to duck and dodge those. But another one of his great passions is birds, and he's got a great bunch up there, and to watch them free flying over the Hawkesbury River is fantastic.
Yeah, it's a beautiful sight and one I've been very privileged to have enjoyed on a number of occasions. So that's great to hear Singo's in good form as always and these horses are firing everywhere. What are the sort of plans then over the next sort of 1 to 2 years with the business, Duncan? Do you keep things as they are or are there some other plans afoot?
No, I think as we go forward, we'll probably end up retaining more to race. John gets a great thrill out of racing and more so than selling, to be honest with you. And so I think as we go along now, we'll probably retain more. More Sundays was the first colt that we've retained 100% of, and obviously if he does the right thing, it'll be hard to pry any more out of him, I would imagine. But, so at this stage, we've kept 15, I think, two-year-olds now that are going into work with different trainers, and then we've got another 16 just turned yearlings now, and we'll decide which way we go with those. But at this stage, I think the majority of those will be kept as well.
So you've got Bjorn training for you, Gay Waterhouse, of course, the Lindsay Park Racing Team. Any other trainers on the list around Australia at the moment preparing your horses?
Chris Waller's got a few, and Tony McAvoy, Clary Connors, of course, Gerald Ryan's got a couple, and Carly Gavenlock's got a couple on the Central Coast as well. It's a fairly spread out band, and you know, we're happy with how it's all going at the moment.
Terrific. Lovely to catch up with you, Duncan. Thanks for providing us with an update on all that amazing bloodstock, and good luck with the campaign of More Sundays over the next couple of months. Look forward to seeing what he can do at the top level.
Thanks very much, Joe. Hopefully we'll be talking again when he's won one of them.
Absolutely. That's Duncan Grimley bringing us up to date with John Singleton's much-prized racing and breeding stock, More Sundays, a horse to follow after winning impressively at Geelong on Monday. And that's all we've got time for on this week's edition of Talking Horses, tainted with much sadness after the passing yesterday of Nick Collum, a prominent figure in the Australasian racing and bloodstock community. He passed away at the age of 72 after suffering a stroke whilst on holidays in Spain last week. He ultimately failed to recover and passed away surrounded by his family on Friday evening. Of course, Nick wore a number of hats during his time in thoroughbred racing. As an owner, he had enormous success at the top level back in the 1980s with the likes of Group 1 Caulfield Cup winners Impazira and Tristark, and he also won a Group 1 Golden Slipper with Kortzer. Nick Collum was also the chairman of Australia's Thoroughbred Racehorse Owners Association for 15 years until 2001, and in more recent times, he was an influential decision maker at major bloodstock auctions through his role as a bloodstock consultant for the Hong Kong Jockey Club. Collum developed a long-standing friendship with Arrowfield Studs' John Massara, who of course has led the tribute so far to his colleague and friend. He said, "Nick Collum was the staunchest friend, always fearless, constantly innovative and deeply passionate about horse racing and so much else. He leaves an unfillable gap in Arrowfield's world and so many good memories and reasons to be grateful for his incomparable life." Of course, Collum worked very closely with the Hong Kong Jockey Club's Mark Richards, who was another really affected by his passing. He also paid tribute to Nick Collum on Twitter and said, "It's so sad at hearing this morning. My close mate and colleague Nick Collum had passed on during the night. He taught me a great deal in the last couple of years. I'm a better person for knowing him. And so am I. He'll be much missed, Nick Collum." Nick Collum happened to be in Melbourne earlier this year, attending the English Premier Yearling Sales at Oakland's Junction in his role with the Hong Kong Jockey Club. Michael Felgate caught up with Nick for Racing's Open Mic. Here's an excerpt of what was a very entertaining interview.
Now, you know this station very well.
I know, I got sacked out of this studio, mate. It brings back very fond memories.
Well, it's good to see you back in Melbourne, and I know you come back irregularly nowadays, but you obviously still have a great passion for this city.
Well, I'm here once a year, Melbourne sales time. I still have two ex-wives and five children living here, which is part of the reason I'm not living here. But, you know, it's always great to come back and look at the weather.
Yeah, absolutely.
Wonderful.
Tell me, what are you doing these days?
Well, I'm a consultant to the Hong Kong Jockey Club primarily, and I live in Hong Kong. I've been living out of Australia really for about 5 years. For a while it was on and off, and then 3.5 years ago I went to lunch at Hong Kong with the boss of the jockey club, and he kidnapped me. I'm there. I'm still there. Still having lunch.
Well, we know it's one of the great racing jurisdictions, so what exactly is your role over there?
Well, I travel the world buying yearlings with a team. You know, we're a team. It's not just me. And we do Southern Hemisphere and Northern Hemisphere, and we buy these horses, and then as three-year-olds, because we buy them as yearling as three-year-olds after they've been educated, we resell them in Hong Kong to members of the jockey club for a lot of money, hopefully. And hopefully they win a lot of races. At the moment, we've got the favourite for the Derby, which is coming up in March. We launched AC/DC, we launched Norman Gunston was a headliner one night. You know, we had one of the annexes at the exhibition buildings was rock and roll. The big one was skateboarding and things like that. In fact, what's his name? Simpson, the Australian cricket captain. He had a company that did, you know, entertainment
Bob things. Simpson.
Bobby Simpson. Yeah, and he did skateboards and all sorts of things, and we had... And the third hall was full of stands, and they launched Big M, you know, the flavoured milk. And we had jeans and records, and you know, like 200,000 kids in the summer would come through, and 3XY and I used to split the dough. And it was good. First horse I raced or first horse that could run?
There is a difference.
There is a difference. I raced a couple of horses, I don't even remember their names, with some mates. We leased horses off people and we raced them because we had this passion, but we had no money. The first horse I got into was probably Full on Aces, and I bought 20% of him, and he went on to win a Golden Slipper. But unfortunately, the bloke who was the manager didn't. He took all the tickets, and we all stood outside the fence and watched it.
Are you serious?
Yeah, it wasn't much fun in those days. Yeah, well, I was only a minor owner, you know. But I still regard myself as an owner with 20% of the horse.
We'd never have known that you were the boss of the Footscray Football Club.
Yeah, well, I was sort of dragged kicking and screaming into the presidency in 1989 because the guy who was president. Was unfortunately going to be involved in what turned out to be not so much of a scandal, but at the time he was chairman of the VEDC, which is Victorian Economic Development Corporation that lent a lot of money to people that had been, and the money had been lost. And he thought that there would be some sort of litigation coming because of it. So he rang me at 11 o'clock one night in 1989 and said, "You're president, mate." And I said, "No, I'm not. Don't want to be. You know, I was happy being football director. I've got at least another 2 or 3 years in me in Hong Kong, and then I might head to Europe. You know, that's where I came from, and I wouldn't mind going full circle. You know, there are places like Italy and Spain and Portugal and Greece and that whole Croatian coast, you know, on the Adriatic that I can explore before I get too old. And I've just got to keep running away before someone grabs me and sticks me in a nursing home. So we'll just keep going. You know, there's a lot of life to be had yet, Michael.
And it's been a remarkable life that you've had so far. Nick, it's been fascinating to have you in the studio and reliving all your great times on and off the track. Thanks for coming in and being a part of Racing's Open Mic.
Been my honour, mate. Pleasure.
Nick Collin in fine form there with Michael Fellgate on Racing's Open Mic. And that's how we should best remember him. Bye for now.